12:40 a.m. WSBC. This is the Hoolies Hoolie. Welcome to another week of fun. Got a good show tonight.
Yeah, we do. A lot of stuff going on, too.
Joining me on the mic is my brother, Billy Houlihan. I'm Patty Houlihan. Clay O'Brien, our pal, is on the other mic over there. Clay,
pleasure.
How you been?
How you doing?
Good. Excited for tonight's show. I'll be in L.A. when this airs.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to L.A. this weekend.
For the Plastic Surgeons Convention, right?
Yeah, for the American Society of Plastic Surgeons Convention.
Yeah, sounds
fun. Good group.
It's I went last year, was in Boston. It is a...
Yeah, but I imagine that it'll be a little different in L.A., right?
Well, it's the same kind of people. I mean, you know, it's mostly doctors, but the femme fatales walking around is quite interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They all got these chicks that work in their office. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And they all look...
They're girls. They're called girls. That's my girl. My girl will call you back in 15 minutes.
No, yeah. I mean...
No scarring. Show them.
Doc, I talked to your girl. I gave her my card. When are you going to sign the paperwork?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll be out there selling them credit.
It's going to be a schmooze fest.
I'll be selling them the credit card processing for Payline.
There you go.
Shout out to my company there. Joining us on the program tonight is somewhat of a legend here in Chicago. In fact, I would say he is a legend. He ran the Local 714 Teamsters for more than 30 years. These Local 714 Teamsters were in charge of steel warehouses, factories, exposition and trade centers, and the motion picture industry. He took the union over from his father, who founded the local in 1939. His father was a crane operator that organized 40 fellow employees. Those 40 grew to more than 10,000 plus members during a nearly 50-year run of family leadership. William Hogan is one of the most well-liked, loyal, and charismatic Irish-American leaders in the city of Chicago and the United States has ever known. We're honored to welcome William Hogan Jr. to the show. Mr. Hogan, thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right.
I like that introduction, too. I didn't know I was that famous.
You are, in my opinion. I knew your name right away when I first started. No, I started my career in show business as an extra. And then I had a lot of the Teamsters driving us around on set. And
there you go.
I said, who's the guy in charge here? And they said, Billy Hogan Jr. And they said, okay. And then from there on out, I've followed your career, and you're an Irish-American, and I've been proud of you ever since. Clay, you ran into Bill recently.
I did. I was at the Ed Kelly Awards, and we were sitting at the Peter O'Brien table, which is, you know, a little too close to the front, if you ask me. But I sat down, and Billy sat down right next to me, and we were both bored out of our minds, so we started talking, and he had a lot to say, so I thought he'd be a great guest for us.
Now, Bill, you're on the program tonight because you're promoting a documentary film you've been working on, correct?
Yeah, this is correct. I'll go back to the Ed Kelly dinner. There's an award given there in my dad's name. The Labor Award is in my father's name.
William Hogan Sr.
So I present that every year, so that takes me to the dinner. So a lot of good labor leaders have received the award. So
sure.
But I go deep into Chicago, grew up in Chicago.
What part of Chicago?
You said Northwest Side.
Galewood area,
and then Shores Village up around Belmont and Harlem.
Yeah.
Went to St. Phillips High School, and I got through there. I don't know how, but I did.
Yeah.
I made it.
Yeah.
When I got out of school, then I went, I was working in a glue factory for a while on Canalport and 18th Street, and when I told my dad I was getting married, he said, well, maybe I better help you out and get you a decent job. So I went to work for him.
Yeah.
And I was just 20, so I was a child labor leader. And
But
I wanted to learn it. I didn't want to just be his kid. And everybody said, oh, that's Hogan's kid. So I said, I earned my own stripes. So,
sure.
And I never wanted to embarrass him. So
yeah.
So I had a good career. I had a good run.
Yep. Now, let's talk
about... Hold on a second, Clay. Yeah. 18th and Canal, isn't that the old O'Brien Schoenhofen water plant over there?
And is, my family owned a building, the Schoenhofen Brewery, which is on the corner of 18th.
Yeah, I remember the brewery. It was there when I was working there. I was working at Morningstar Paisley, a glue company. Right
okay,
there.
Sure. Yeah. And they restored it, and then they had a little water business going out of there where they were bottling water, that sort of thing, but it didn't last, and they ended up selling the building, but... little piece of history there.
It was an adventure every time we went down there.
Oh, yeah. It was great. Absolutely. I always thought I was going to see a ghost or something in that place. It's ghost of El Capone.
Bill, what's the story behind your dad? How did he start the union?
He was working in a steel warehouse, and they were making 23 cents an hour. So
this was 1939.
So he went to the Federation, got a federal charter. He organized, was Cane Steel.
Yep.
He organized that. He left there and went to Century Steel, and he organized Century Steel. Then he went full-time with the union.
Right.
And then in 1944, they drafted him into the Navy. He had four kids and one on the way.
Right.
He went in the Navy, and when he came back out of the Navy, the day the war ended, they discharged him because by then he had five kids.
Yeah.
So he came back, and the guy that was running the union with him says, I think this is my union now. I said, well, let's have an election.
Yeah.
They had an election. My dad beat him by one vote, and the rest is history. And
then
he took the union from there and built it up. And at one point, we were up to 13,000 members. You know, we built it pretty good. I went to work from there was 5,000 members and did a lot of organizing. It was a lot of fun.
Now, we talk a lot about our Irish heritage on this show because that's who we sort of aim the demographic towards. Where are you guys from in Ireland? Do you know?
My mother was from Ballina, County Mayo, and I noticed that the mayor that was just here, that's where she was from.
Yeah.
County Mayo, Ballina, that's where my mother came from. So she was born over there, came here when she was 12. So.
Where'd she meet your dad?
Irish dancing studio on the west side.
Yeah.
They were doing step dancing, and that's how they met.
Wow.
No, your dad wasn't from Ireland. He was a natural-born citizen here in the United States.
Yeah, he was born
here. Were his folks from Ireland?
No. No, his mother was from here, and his dad was an orphan, so.
Yeah.
But my brother, Jim, just recently did the DNA test. He did the swab and sent him.
Yeah.
Came back, we're 99% Irish, 1% Asian. So I said, now I know why my grandkids like Chinese food. So we're pretty much Irish, I guess.
Yeah. There you go. Wow. Yeah.
Now, for a long time, I was going to say, you know, my first introduction to the Hogans was when I was working in the movie industry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you must have some amazing stories to tell over the years as far as organizing that section of the union. Why don't we talk a little bit about what those guys do for major motion pictures or what they did when you were in charge of the union. They drive all the trucks.
Yeah, primarily it's all transportation. They drive the stars, they drive the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
They work with the location managers because they have to block streets and they need base camps, so they need lots to set up all the trailers on a set. And when they first started coming in here from Hollywood, Gailey was one of the first.
It was like the Jane Byrne era around that time,
yeah,
right?
It was even a little before that. You know, they'd come in here and they'd do a shoot for 2 or 3 weeks, and we'd get 4 or 5 guys driving vans, and all the rest would come in for California.
Right.
So over time, we said, we need to get equipment here so that we put our own people to work.
Right.
And when they found out that Chicago was a friendly city, picked up. I actually went to California with Jim Thompson, who was the governor.
Was Ron Verkylen running the film office
then?
Ron
was running it then.
So. Yeah.
But we went out there, I think Ron, I don't know, well, Susie Kellett was there.
For a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but we went out to California, and we met with studio heads and producers.
Yeah,
and
you're credited as one of the guys who brought Hollywood to Chicago originally.
Well, we did a little bit of work on that. You know, we made them feel welcome. We told them, you're coming to Chicago, you're going to like the city, first of all. People are good. You can move around. The city's clean. It's a great place to shoot. So they were a little reluctant because they bought all the Al Capone stuff. You know, so
yeah.
When they came here, they found out they could work with us. The other unions, we worked close together, and it was like a family. So when they came here, we'd all meet with them.
So you'd
make
work
them
with
feel welcome.
Who were the other unions? IATSE?
Yeah, IATSE, Camera Local, the editors.
Yep. SAG, AFTRA.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So we all got along good, and that made them feel comfortable. So.
Now, you ran the union. There was, at what point did the feds start digging around and bothering the Hogan family?
In 1989, they signed a consent decree. That's what the documentary that I'm doing is going to be about.
Right.
And actually, it was not. There was no consent, in my opinion. It was a government takeover of the union, and we've got a couple of senators that'll be in the documentary stating that they felt it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There was 236 congressmen signed letters saying they should not do what they were doing, but they took the union over, they took control of the union, and basically they run the union.
Now this was a court-ordered that kind of thing. Like, so when Rudy Giuliani was getting the RICO Act going and he wanted to infiltrate OC and organized crime and all that stuff, one of the first things he did was try to attack labor.
Yeah, yeah, he went after the Teamsters and he used the RICO statute to do it.
Right.
And a lot of people objected to that. We felt, you know, if you've got criminals here, go after the criminals.
Yep. Right.
Take the union over.
Sure.
So they took the union over, and basically they ran it, and they were going to be there a short period of time, get the mob out of the union, and then be on their way. They were going to have an election so the members could vote for leadership. They got all of that. It's 27 years later. They're still there, and the amount of money they've taken out is astronomical.
Sure.
They've just, the leaders of the union today are afraid of them.
Yeah.
They won't stand up. They second guess what you do. And they came after me with a vengeance when I ran with Hoffa.
Right.
And once they got themselves entrenched, I'm a typical Irishman who, if something's wrong, I'm going to fight it.
Yep.
Right.
This was wrong. So I started to speak out, and I went to Washington. I lobbied more congressmen and senators, and I mean some pretty powerful people.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't realize is, you know, they're all in bed together, basically. Yeah. And these are their friends.
They're going to make, you're going to become
I'm saying these guys are bad guys. We need to get them out of my union. And I got a picture shaking hands with Clinton.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him. You're supposed to be posing. I'm looking right up at him, and I got him by the hand. And I'm saying, my union's in trouble. I need your help.
Yes.
And after I thought, I better let him go, these Secret Circus guys. Oh, come and crack me in the head here. So, but he turned me over to David Wilhelm, and I met with David Wilhelm. And David Wilhelm, I met him down in Florida at a meeting. He was going to give me 10 minutes. We spent an hour and a half together.
Yeah.
Once he heard what was going on. But again, it's all an old boys club. Nobody would budge to do
it. It's
anything.
A fraternity.
Yeah, and it was like the Teamsters Union. We're not the Altar and Rosary Society, so everybody thinks we're getting what we deserve.
Right.
We've done a lot of good. In the documentary, there's a professor from Notre Dame that he makes reference to the fact that the Teamsters actually helped create the middle class.
They did.
The Master Freight Agreement and created pensions and medical benefits. And he credits the Teamsters that other unions fed off of that. So we really helped do that. We never get any credit for what we do good. We get all the nasty stuff.
Unions built this country, period.
Oh, there's no question about that.
Now, the documentary is called A Battle for Free Speech. I want to take a quick commercial break. We're going to continue this discussion when we get back to these short messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's in law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. They're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
30 days hath September, and September 30th kicks off our second annual Irish American Movie Hoolie. So please join us once again at the Gene Siskel Film Center, 164 North State Street in Chicago, on Friday, September 30th, Saturday, October 1st, and Sunday, October 2nd, for another weekend in Chicago of Irish and Irish American films that will dazzle you. Once again, we bring you three great filmmakers showcasing their masterpieces. And after the laughter, and yes, some tears, you can meet them for a pint and ask them how they did it. You can buy your tickets online at www.siskelfilmcenter.org or get more info at moviehoolie.org. Don't miss the second annual Irish American Movie Hoolie, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 30th, October 1st, and 2nd at the Siskel Film Center, the classiest indie theater in town. Two Gingers Irish Whiskey is presenting the Hoolie this year, along with our sponsors, the Emerald Loop, Hilton Chicago, the Irish American News, and McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We got Irish cinema, whiskey, hotel rooms, the newspaper, and oatmeal, so we're covered. So come channel your inner Jimmy Cagney for the second annual Irish American Movie Hoolie. We're all heading around the corner after each screening to the Emerald Loop for pints, so join us for the Hoolie. MovieHoolie.org. See you at the movies, Hoolie.
See you at the movies, Hooli.
Yeah, we're back, 1240 AM WSBC. We're with William Hogan Jr. He ran Local 714 of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters for over 30 years. He's here promoting his documentary film, Bill, what's the status of the film? It's called A Battle for Free Speech. It's directed by George, I don't want to botch his name.
Bobanich.
Bobanich?
Yeah, that's close enough. George will accept that.
I'm sorry, George. God bless you. And it's directed by George Bobanich. Jimmy Belushi is going to be doing the narration.
Yeah, he's going to narrate it for me. Yeah, Jim and I became good friends. I met him when his brother did the Blues Brothers here.
Yeah, and then he did Thief.
He was at Second City. Yeah, he did. He did a few things here. Yeah. He became good friends.
Good guy.
Yeah.
He loves his city too.
Very loyal guy. And,
yeah.
And he's a good Cub fan too. So
now I think
we're Sox fans.
Well,
on
that's
the show,
too bad. Sorry to hear that. you guys got to. What can I say?
Yeah. We need some of the Cubs players on our team.
Yeah. You sure do.
Yeah. So now I think you mentioned that right now you're kind of in the post production part of things. So you're doing music and you're attempting to do music. You're having a fundraiser to...
The fundraiser is going to be at Harry Carey's October 5th. That's a Wednesday from 5:30 to 7:30. Your pal Richard Dent is going to be there.
Yeah, Richard said he's
can't miss him.
If he's in town, he'll be there. You know, Richard's a good friend, too.
You've had a lot of good people speak out on your behalf. You've had Christy Hefner and Billy Maravich Jimmy Belushi. And
they've been good friends. So, I guess I did a few things right in spite of what they said about me, when they threatened to put me in jail, that got a little too much for talking to four friends of mine. So
Now I'm going to get to that story because I want to talk about a little bit about what is the IRB. It's the International Review Board. It was created to essentially bother unions. Correct.
It's the Independent Review Board is actually the way it's referred to, and it's a quasi government function within the Teamsters, but they claim it's not the government. However,
who appoints these guys?
They're appointed, the government picks one, the union picks one, and then the two of them are supposed to pick the third one, but basically the government picked all three of them, they got what they wanted.
As soon as they came in, what was that, like 1996?
1989.
And then they eventually ousted the Hogans from the union.
Yeah, they got to that later on. That didn't happen right away. When I ran with Hoffa and when I started to lobby against them to get them out, because I looked at how much money they were taking and what they were doing. They were supposed to get rid of the mob. They did that real early on, and now they're just going after grievances and things that they had no understanding what it was about.
Right.
So they had to justify being there. So.
And then they all gave themselves fat salaries. Oh,
the money they took out of there. The one chief investigations officer, I don't remember exactly now, but two of the years we looked at him, he took out over $700,000 two years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
When we raised that, the next thing you know, they cut that back and they started trimming it. But they don't give us a real breakdown of where the money goes. But it's got to be over.
It's like a piggy bank for
them. It's probably $200 million.
So they're imposed to figure out what you guys are doing with the money, and then they turn around
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, you got it right.
All right, so then...
they don't pay dues.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And plus, hearings that they hold them in non-union hotels, and we pay all their expenses. So that's like slapping you in the face.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Now, the story of this film centers around what? What issue in your career does it center around?
Well, but basically, I'm going to be a big part of it, which I didn't want necessarily to be that.
Yeah.
The basics of it is it's a government takeover of a major trade union and the danger of that the power, there's too much power for them to have that and control a union. And when I say they control it, at our convention, when I ran with Hoffa, they gave us time periods on how much we could speak at our own convention. You know, as a secretary treasurer candidate, I got 8 minutes. And some little lady standing down below, and she's tugging on my pants like at the 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is supposed to be a free trade union. We should be able to speak as long as we want.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows, right there, it shows the control that they took over the union.
Right.
And we had nothing to say about anything. Whatever they wanted, they got. We had to bend over, or it was, you're going to get thrown out. They're going to come after you.
Now, at a certain point, they barred you from the union. They kicked you out.
they came after me the first time, and they trusted the local.
Right.
And after a thorough investigation, 18 months, they had the local. They couldn't find a dime missing. They couldn't find one criminal thing that they could point to. They figured they'd come in and find all kinds of stuff. Well, we were in a very clean union.
Right.
So 18 months later, my son went into federal court and got an order from the judge. The judge says, this local should not be in trusteeship. So
who put it in trusteeship, though? Hoffa didn't he?
The Independent Review Board. They recommended at that time it was Ron Kerry. He was the president.
That's right.
Then.
All right.
And he put the local in trusteeship. And then federal judge in Chicago ordered an election. My son Bobby ran, and he won the local back.
Right.
I retired when they did that.
Right.
So Bobby came to me and said, why don't you come back, Dad? And I said, I don't know. With Kerry there, I don't know if I want to come back or not. So so I did. I went back as his organizing director, and I got back involved. And local in Joliet made me an officer to the local, and that gave me the ability to go back to be the president of the joint council, which I was when they trusteed the local. So that's a powerful position in Chicago. And for the guy that was there to step down and put me back in, I think my
that speaks volumes.
Yeah, it says something about my my abilities or what they thought of me.
Sure.
And that really, I would swear, but I'm not going to, teed off the IRB that, that I came back. So the next thing, it was a friend doing some work out in Las Vegas, and I was in the trade show industry. I was a director of the division. I helped bring work into Chicago, into the McCormick Place, worked, in, and I was a chairman of Bureau one year.
Right.
So I was very well respected in that industry, and they were having trouble in Las Vegas. They trusted the local. Hoffa put a guy in there that didn't know what the hell he was doing. A good guy, but he came to me for advice. I was helping him, and they came after me that we were trying to sell out the members, and that's when they barred me. I had a hearing. They threw me out for undermining the members. I was going to sell the members out. There's no way I could do that, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, they tried to say that you were giving non-union guys work on the side.
Right.
Right.
We were organizing non-union guys to put more people into the unions, what we were doing. But they didn't understand it. They didn't want to understand it.
Right.
They wanted me. The target was on me, and they got me. And I had Matt Leiden represented me from Thompson's firm. And Matt's a good lawyer.
Sure.
When the hearing was over, he said, Bill, I don't guarantee stuff, but he said, I guarantee you'll win this. They should be embarrassed for even bringing these charges. That's how bad the case was.
Right.
And then they barred me for life. He was in shock.
Yeah, but not only that, then they tried to put you in jail.
Then they came after me, because I couldn't talk to people. Now, I was in a union for 40 years. I got good friends. My wife couldn't talk to her friends because they'd say I was on the phone with the member. But they got my cell phone records. I'm the first one that I'm aware of they ever grabbed cell phone records.
And they were screening your calls to see if you were talking to your son, for one.
Well, they found that they weren't as concerned about as they found four Teamsters. Mm-hmm. And they threw all four of them out of the union just for talking to me.
That was Which one was that, Riley?
Riley was one of them. Riley I met in fifth grade. We went to grammar school in St. Giles in Oak Park.
Yep.
Him and his wife and I were all in fifth grade together. I was his best man. My wife and I were godparents to his daughter. He's the godfather to my son.
Yeah.
He still worked for my son. So when they threw me out, I'm talking to him. They threw him out.
And so it didn't matter, even if he called you and said, let's go get a sandwich, it didn't matter?
Can't talk to him at all.
That's unbelievable. You can't do that.
Clay, it'd be like if I couldn't talk to you anymore.
That wouldn't be too bad, actually.
Yeah. Sometimes there's people you don't want to talk to, right? But this is like a violation
of rights. This is America. That's crazy.
People don't understand. And the way I explain it to them, if I'm sitting with somebody, a lot of people say to me, this can't be happening. This is America. You got a First Amendment. I said, no, I don't. And I tell them, if you join the Teamsters Union, you give up your right to talk to me.
It's unbelievable.
And it's like, you got to be kidding me. No, you can't talk to me if you join the Teamsters Union. I'm not a criminal. I've done nothing criminal, never have a criminal background. How can they do this? They do whatever they want to do.
Now, were you indicted for, in fact, talking to them?
No, I was charged with criminal contempt for talking to the four of them.
Right.
Aiding and abetting them in talking to me.
And now what happened to them?
I had all four of them get thrown out of the union. They lost their careers.
Jesus.
And their only crime was they talked to me. And we were friends, all of us, for years and years.
We're all shaking our heads. You can't see radio listeners, but we're all shaking our heads here.
I can feel the wind, though.
Yeah. it's just an unreal story, and it needs to be brought to light, and that's why we're going to document it.
We're going to point out a lot of these inequities in the system, and they play games, too. If they want you, they're going to get you. If they don't want you, they'll give you a pass, and there'll be examples of that, where some guys embezzle money and didn't do nothing. And
right.
They came after me attempting to negotiate a substandard agreement. That was my charge. And when I testified, I said, no, there was never an agreement. How do you determine it was substandard? Well, they don't have to.
They'll make up the laws.
They said it, and that's all. That's all it took.
They make up the laws as they go.
The IRB, Obama said he was going to try to get rid of that when he was lobbying for the Teamster vote.
Yeah.
And that did not happen.
No. Well, I'll go back a little bit. George Bush said he was going to do it. And in his first State of the Union, he had Hoffa in the balcony because him and Hoffa were getting along. There was talk about getting rid of it.
Yep.
But then the cross-border trucking issue came up, and Hoffa turned and went against Bush on that, and that died.
Right.
And when Obama came in, the same thing. We'll take a look at this, and we'll get rid of it. But you have to lobby to get rid of it, and I don't think Hoffa has done that.
Hoffa care to get rid of it, really?
I don't think so, because I think Hoffa uses it to his advantage.
Yeah.
He can point them in the direction of somebody that's giving them trouble, and they're gone. And I think I might have been
one of those guys.
I might have been. I'm not sure, but you never know.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a shame, but you know, this is America, and I said I was an American first. I should have some rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you tell me I can't talk to friends of mine that I've had my whole life?
Now, your family was, I mean, your the Hogan family and the Hoffa family had deep, deep history before this happened, correct?
Yeah, my dad knew his dad. You know, my dad used to take care of young Jimmy. He'd point him out all the time because
mm-hmm.
he never worked in the union, actually. You know,
he's a suit.
Yeah, his whole thing was he worked on a pipeline in Alaska, and that's it. So
yeah.
So my dad always was very nice to him, and when we first started running, I told him, Jim, I don't want to be the president. I think... I had a lot of experience he didn't. So when we campaigned, it was tough for him.
Right.
In a lot of cases, we had to let him speak first, because if I spoke first, then everybody would have left.
Right.
I don't want to blow any smoke up anybody's, what do you call it? But,
but
he'd talk about things that weren't relating to the union. And I was born and raised in this union. I love this union. I did a lot of good in it. I feel bad what happened, but I don't like what they did to it, and that's why we're doing the documentary, trying to expose that.
Well, I think you should know that the people in the motion picture industry still hold you with a high level of respect, and they speak very fondly of you, and at least they did when I was still working on movies. And
I appreciate that.
And just to add to that, you know, the things that you did do over that career will last forever. You know, mm-hmm. the things that you've accomplished will never be taken away.
Right.
So, you know, that's something you can always look back
on. We helped build the movie industry and the convention industry.
And the convention,
I traveled with the Bureau, and we went to, a lot of times we'd go and solicit a major trade show, and I'd be the only union guy there, because most of them weren't going to do that. But I was comfortable doing that.
Well, you just think about all the things that are going on in Chicago now with all the major television shows. That doesn't happen without this guy sitting in front of us right here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the hottest place right now.
What are you doing these days when you're not working on this movie?
I'll travel with my grandkids, or I'll play with my grandkids. I got one that likes to sing, so I go with him wherever he's performing. I got one that's a gymnast. So a lot of time with the grandkids.
That's good. Nice and laid back.
I do a couple other little things there that keep me busy. Get out of the house.
You don't strike me as a guy who wants to play golf.
I do play golf, but not a lot.
Yeah.
The weather's got to be nice. The people got to be nice, and we don't have to take it serious, and then I'll play.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
Yeah, exactly.
So how can people, is this open to the public, this fundraiser then? Anybody can show up?
Absolutely.
You want to learn more about...
anybody but Teamsters. and the funny part about that is Teamsters want to see this done, too.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of them laying in the weeds. And I get messages periodically. People will say, hey, I was in Philadelphia, or I was in Detroit, or I was here. And so-and-so said to say hello to you, and they feel bad for what happened to you.
Yeah.
So most of them know that this was a rigged system to get me.
Gone.
And they got me. You know, it made no sense to bar me for life. There was absolutely nothing criminal.
No.
And I met with a guy one time. Actually, it was, what the hell was the name of it? But I told him the story, and if I'd have done what they accused me of doing, write a real lousy contract to undermine these people, I had no authority to sign it. I'd have to take it to the general president of the union to get it signed. So here's a sellout contract, and I want you to sign it. So that's why Matt said, Bill, you got to win this. There's nothing here. This is ridiculous. So, but they wanted me, so they got me.
Do you worry that a documentary like this is poking the bear a little bit? Like, are the feds are they still bothering you at all?
No.
What more can they do, really?
Yeah, there's not much more they can do. Right. I mean, if I try not to talk to anybody, you know, even my UPS man, I just wave at him. and my OSCO pharmacist, you know, I organized the OSCO pharmacist many years ago.
That's right.
So I get my prescriptions there, so I'm very friendly with them, but we don't go out to lunch or nothing. I don't want to see them lose their job.
You got to pay them down for a while first.
Yeah. Exactly.
Make sure the pharmacist doesn't
want to hurt
one.
Nobody. So
now, once this film is complete, are you guys going to plan on taking it on the festival circuit out to Hollywood, try to sell
it? We're going to do whatever we can with it. You know, we're going to have a meeting with some people. You mentioned Christy, and Christy will be helpful to us.
Christy Hefner,
Christy's been very supportive of me over the years. And we're going to take it to PBS and Netflix, HBO, anybody who's doing documentary films, and see if we can market it. And I want to take it to all the unions in the country.
Yeah, are you going to try and line it up, the release, with the election or anything? Or is it around that time? Or
what election? Oh, the presidential election?
I guess there's a presidential election.
I don't want to confuse that any more than it is right now.
It's a circus.
We'll stay with it.
Yeah, I mean, but the union should be a bigger topic for an issue for the presidential campaign, which it seems like it's kind of getting pushed aside a little bit with all this nonsense going on.
It's interesting for the unions in this election because you got Hillary, and obviously the Clintons have always been very pro-union.
Right.
Then you got Trump, who's had all these hotels. I mean, he's got to be in favor of the unions in some capacity. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, not as much as Hillary. But
yeah, who knows what he's into? He changes his mind every 5 minutes.
Easy, Clay. Easy.
He's made it interesting, I got to say.
Oh, absolutely.
This will be the highest rated debates, I think, ever.
It's going to be a WWF fight.
Yeah, this could be good. This could be exciting.
So. There might be some body slamming going on.
All right. Well,
so
Bill,
what's the date? Let's go over the date again. Of the
There's a fundraiser. It's at Harry Carey's. It's Wednesday, October 5th. It's going to be benefit for the film. It's going to, you know, you're welcome to make a drop in the bucket to help the finish financing this film. It's called A Battle for Free Speech. All right. It's the story of William Hogan Jr. and his fight with the IRB.
Yeah.
Which is a very generic name, too, by the way.
Independent Review Board,
It's done that purposely.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It'll be at Harry Carey's. It's at from 5:30 to 7 p.m. I encourage all of our listeners to go out and check that out. There's some footage you can find on YouTube and some clips on the film. Mm-hmm. You can go to Real Chicago and read about it. Bill Hogan Jr., thanks for doing the show, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
You're welcome. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
A vending machine? Sure. A parking meter? Okay. A slot machine? That's kind of the point. There are some machines that you have to pay to use. An ATM shouldn't be one of them. With total access checking from your Wintrust Community Bank, every ATM nationwide is free, even ones outside the network. With the fees you'll save, go on. Buy a candy bar from that vending machine. Get our Total Access special offer at wintrust.com/TAC. Members FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJules. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage, sorry, we don't serve weenies.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started 80 years ago by their grandfather. Today, 15 members of the family still work together. And as in their grandfather's day, they're service-oriented and believe that the only way to do something is the right way. Flood Brothers are price competitive, so you can count on them to exceed your expectations. So contact Flood Brothers for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. And remember their motto, your rubbish is our bread and butter. So call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
30 days has September, and September 30th kicks off our second annual Irish-American Movie Hooli. So please join us once again at the Gene Siskel Film Center, 164 North State Street in Chicago, on Friday, September 30th, Saturday, October 1st, and Sunday, October 2nd, for another weekend in Chicago of Irish and Irish-American films that will dazzle you. Once again, we bring you three great filmmakers showcasing their masterpieces. And after the laughter, and yes, some tears, you can meet them for a pint and ask them how they did it. You can buy your tickets online at www.siskelfilmcenter.org or get more info at moviehooli.org. Don't miss the second annual Irish-American Movie Hooli, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 30th, October 1st, and 2nd at the Siskel Film Center, the classiest indie theater in town. Two Gingers Irish Whiskey is presenting the Hooli this year, along with our sponsors, the Emerald Loop, Hilton Chicago, the Irish-American News, and McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We got Irish cinema, whiskey, hotel rooms, the newspaper, and oatmeal, so we're covered. So come channel your inner Jimmy Cagney for the second annual Irish-American Movie Hooli. We're all heading around the corner after each screening to the Emerald Loop for pints, so join us for the Hooli. MovieHooli.org. See you at the movies, Hooli.
And we're back. 12:40 a.m. WSBC. This is the Hooli's Hooli. That was some kind of a guest there, huh, Pat?
Yeah, Billy Hogan Jr. Clay, thanks for bringing him on the program.
No problem. He's a dear friend, legend.
That was great to have him.
He's got a great story. So
he does. He's got a lot of great stories. He's, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
That's a good example of it right there, because he's been beaten up pretty good, and he gets up every time.
I'll tell you, man, when I worked on the movie industry, people loved him.
He's a legend. You just see the way he works the rooms at like the Ed Kelly Awards. It's like he's a senator,
you know,
which he would never want to be. He really is a good guy, and I can see how he was such a strong leader in that union.
Yeah. Once again, I'll plug the movie. It's called A Battle for Free Speech. It's a documentary. It features William Hogan Jr.'s story of the Teamsters Union, what the International Review Board, Internal Review Board, I keep watching that, the IRB, and how they destroyed his career and many of his friends.
They basically infiltrated the union, took over, and the rest is history. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the response this film gets.
I think it'll get a good one. So if you want to go out to Harry Carey's, Bill's friend Richard Dent's going to be there.
Wait a minute. Speaking of Bill.
Yeah.
He's wearing the coach shirt. Again.
Bill Houlihan, not Bill Hogan.
Yeah, Bill Houlihan's got it. Everyone, he's got it.
For you guys that don't know, first of all, I know you like to make fun of me for this coach shirt, okay? But it's...
Did you call it a coach shirt or a coach?
Clay called it a coach shirt. They were saying that it looked like Urban Meyer from Ohio State.
It does.
Here's the thing.
Like a short sleeve windbreaker.
It was a little chilly out this morning. It was raining. Okay, I don't know if you guys left your house at 7:30 this morning like I did, but it was raining, and then so it can get a little wet. Doesn't ruin my shirt underneath, and then I'm walking into cold boxes.
You got no sleeves.
That's fine. It's also it went from was 80 something degrees this afternoon. I think so.
It's perfect, is what you're saying.
It's perfect. It's comfortable. maybe I should take a picture of this and post it on the website.
We should have taken a picture with Bill Hogan.
We'll take one at the Harry Carey's event.
Yeah.
Yes, we will.
All right.
But the funny thing was, even at the commercial break, we were asking ourselves, what is a Teamster?
Yeah.
So I Googled that.
Yeah.
A Teamster is a, the first thing that comes up is it says that it's a truck driver, but in layman's terms, it's a driver of a team of animals. So a guy who drove cattle or horses.
That's where it originated.
And so when you look at the logo for the Teamsters Union, there's actually two horse heads, one left and one right. So there it is. There's our answer.
Got it.
You neophytes out there.
Coach
That's what a
slash
teamster
teacher.
Is. Yeah. Coach slash teamster. Yeah.
Slash teacher.
Teacher? Yeah. I'd love to be a teamster. Actually, I'm in a different union. I'm a proud member of Local 3 here in Chicago. Yeah.
You're in the high school football coach union.
Is there such a
I
thing?
I wonder if there is a thing.
There's not.
Should start it.
International Frank Brotherhood Lenti's of High School it. Football Coaches?
Yep.
Yeah, maybe. You know what? We talk about that stuff. We talk a lot about... Sitting listening to the show. Sometimes I go back and listen to the show, although some of our listeners probably would never believe that by the amount of flubs that I have on this program.
Yeah. Nobody's perfect.
Our buddy Pat Kewell goes, God, this show is so Chicago. Wonder if anybody else gets it,
what are you talking about?
It just doesn't matter.
What are you talking about? Now give me my beef.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm getting at. So there was a thing in the Reader this week. I posted it on my Facebook wall.
I saw that, yeah.
It says that the disappearing Chicago accent is layered with local history. They're talking about the fact that the Chicago accent, which I've often been accused of having one, it gets a little amped up after a few whiskeys. Sometimes I might amp it up on this show because I like to.
Uh-huh.
Clay, what do you think? Have you heard the Chicago accent? Do you think it's dying?
It's nonsense.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I hear it a lot. The problem is that no one's from here anymore. If you go downtown, everyone's from Ohio or somewhere else.
A lot of
else.
Transplants. Yeah.
So in a sense, yeah. But if you come up to my neighborhood and places like that, it's very prevalent.
Sure.
So they're talking about, the Reader's talking about, Hipsterville and surrounding areas where they only care
I believe in the article, a guy referred to a gentleman that he heard speaking in like a parking lot in the Beverly community, and he was like, there it is. He heard it,
It's called Chicagoese. We were talking about Foley's book last week.
Right. So Dennis
we
Foley
speak
has
Chicagoese.
He has a book that came out, We Speak Chicagoese. They had a big thing last week at the Beverly Arts Center where there were some readings going on, some of the local writers that were featured in that book, Art Father being one of them, Rick Kogan being another, probably the biggest name. Oh, I mean, come on, there was Carl Sandburg, did an ex, you know, he had something in there, but I actually started perusing that book. It's a fun read, man.
Yeah, it is. So this story in The Reader was written by Edward McClelland, all right?
Eddie MC.
Yeah, but it starts off, I'll just say the first sentence of the article. In the parking lot of a grocery store in Beverly, I heard the most Chicago sentence ever spoken. Yeah, said a middle-aged man who could have only spent his entire life in the city's most Irish neighborhood. They're building a new Catholic church out there in Orland Park.
Sounds about right.
I like that. The article goes on from there. It actually tells you a little bit about the history of the Chicago accent. A lot of it came from guys from upstate New York. I did not know that. Hold on, let me pull it up.
Are you saying I'm speaking like a New Yorker this
speaking
whole time?
Speaking like a New Yorker.
Then came the immigrants who adopted inland north and
then came the
then
immigrants.
Then came the immigrants. Yeah. Oh, those darn immigrants. Those darn immigrants who adopted inland north and added elements from their native tongues. Few languages other than English include the sound. That's how troop became troop, and why these, them, and those guy is a term of salt of the earth white ethnic Chicago and usually from the south side or an inner ring suburb. Okay. The Irish use a kludge for English's lack of second person plural can still be heard in Bridgeport and Beverly. It's heard everywhere.
I thought it would be more closer linked to Boston.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of that wiry, well,
it's the nasal. It's the nasal. And I've noticed that people from upstate New York also, like, if you go to Buffalo,
yeah,
a lot of guys from Buffalo, New York sound like they could be from Chicago.
My wife's going there this weekend.
Is she really?
Believe it or not, for a wedding. And she has a very thick Chicago accent.
We have to ask our Kaikai cousins.
Feel right at home.
The Sweeneys and the Donahues live out in Buffalo.
The Donahues?
Yeah. Mark Donahue and his wife, and then my cousin Bridget and her sister Erin. They're both in Buffalo as well.
Joe Pesci should have won an Oscar for his portrayal of his Chicago accent.
It's beautiful.
It's pretty much perfect.
His Spilatro portrayal.
Yeah.
We should have asked Bill Hogan Jr. I bet you he knows Pesci.
He probably does.
And we should have asked him what he thought of Pesci's Chicago accent. Bill, what do you think of Pesci's accent?
It was awful.
No, it was great. I'd love to play some Pesci.
Maybe we'll throw... if you could find one without a swear. Which
that's what I was going to say. He's...
It'll be like one word, like, what? I think the Chicago accent is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. Chicago Reader, whatever you're all about anymore.
Well, this guy's got a book coming
out.
Stick
to underground music.
Oh, you goo-goo rag, you. We love The Reader here. Edward McClelland is the guy who wrote the article, and he's got a book coming out on Midwestern speech. It'll be out November 8th. It's from Belt Publishing.
I talk like a truck driver.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of good, like, blogs and readings and stuff like that, Mark Conkle of DNA Info, he gave a little shout out to the Movie Hooli today in his.
He did. The Irish American Movie Hooli coming up.
Yeah. Nice little story from him. It's all about a little party we're going to have next Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So the movie on Friday starts at 7, the one on Saturday at 7. And then Sunday, I believe it's at 2 o'clock.
It's at the Gene Siskel Film Center, everybody. I encourage all of you to come out. It's September 25th through the 27th. We did it last year. We had an absolute ball.
Yeah. Friday night should be a really fun night.
Not the right date, dang it.
For the movie, Uli?
Yeah.
The 30th, the 1st, and the 2nd, my friend.
Thank you.
And Beneath the Disheveled Stars will be our kickoff movie on Friday night, and then we're going to go over to the Emerald Loop and have some Two Gingers Irish Whiskey after that. Hope to see everyone there. Beneath the Disheveled Stars is a fun movie. It's about a New Yorker and his quest to go to Ireland to fulfill his mother's dying wish. Very funny film. Hope to see you guys there on Friday night and have a few whiskey and gingers.
Friday night's the kickoff. That's the party night, man.
I think so. Yeah, that's the good. That's the night to go out and really... Get
wasted.
Yeah.
No, not get wasted. I mean, it's a lot of fun. Everybody there. It's not a festival for agents and movie snobs and people of that.
Right.
Age.
And
this is a party. This
yeah,
is the movie.
What Conkle talks about in his column on DNA Info. That's you can go back, radio listeners, and just go to the DNA Info website and check it out with Mark Conkle. Other thing I also wanted to let our listeners know, If you want to hear more about the Irish American Movie Hooli, you can also tune in tomorrow night to After Hours with Rick Hogan on WGN.
Yeah.
Mike Houlihan will be a guest on that show. He'll be talking all about the films that are going to be in the movie Hooli and what we're up to lately. So that should be fun. And I want to give a shout out also to my good friend Kelly Nagel.
Yeah.
She was so kind to give us a little bit of a drop on our Indiegogo GoFundMe page. It helps us put on the movie Hooli, so we're very thankful for that. But she's been a part of an event that I know she's been tirelessly trying to raise money for. It's for a friend of hers who was battling cancer. Her name is Jessica I don't want to botch her name. I think it's Barsik or Barsik. I think so. But she's... she's a wife and a mother of two small children. She's a young school teacher. She's battling stage 4 melanoma. She has 4 tumors on her brain and 9 malignant spots across her body. She's currently undergoing radiation on her brain, but will need additional treatments to battle the melanoma that has spread to other locations. Jessica's husband, Dan, he grew up in the St. Bede Parish on the south side. So they're going to have a big fundraiser for her at Bourbon Street on Sunday, September 25th. So that'll be tomorrow, you guys. Over there by Bourbon Street. Yeah, so from 2 till 7, go over there. It's live entertainment, food, and booze, all for $40 at the door. There's going to be all kinds of great raffle prizes and a silent auction. And if you can't make it, please say a prayer for Jessica and her family. Look forward to seeing some of you folks out there at that event as well.
That's right. Hey, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Juries won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Yes.
Yeah.
12:40 a.m. Hooli's Hooli. We're back on the program. Our guest tonight was Bill Hogan Jr. Very proud to have him on the program. Bill, we were talking about Chicago accents,
right?
Little news this week, as of September 16th, the word has made the Oxford English Dictionary. It's in DNA info. Can you believe that?
Could we talk about that on the air? I don't know.
Is that
I don't
borderline
know if that's
material?
Yeah, Pat, that might be borderline.
Oh.
Yeah, we might be getting edited out there. Sorry.
Just bleep that, but everyone gets the picture, so go grab a dictionary and look at it. Can't miss it. It's in the J's.
Yeah.
Speaking of the J's, the Jolie family is in disarray.
Yes, they are.
The Jolie. Nice recovery.
You like that?
Yeah.
Huh? That's radio for you, people.
Brangelina or
Brad Pitt and his wife are divorced.
They're all, it gone. She's not, gonna. She's leaving him for her brother. Remember? Remember him? Well, he looked like a vampire at the Oscars one year.
He looked like someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
He looked like he was made out of wax.
I don't know.
That's Voight's son. right?
I don't care whose son it is. He looked like a vampire.
Well, it's John. Stop sticking up for Voight.
I love Voight.
That's their grandfather of their kids.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if John Voight was your grandpa? It'd be terrifying.
I think it would be cool.
I'd be like, can you play?
Sit on my lap right now.
You're like, I brought you 22 state championships. We're watching Deer Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Get in here.
Wait, hold on. We almost didn't get it in, but we got to do a little Southern guy. I brought you 22 state championships and 2 state titles. There's your Voight.
Yeah, that's your Voight from Varsity Blues. Yeah, we've probably, we've talked about that.
Goes into characters a lot. Like, yeah. I'm going to be a Southern guy all day, kids. All right, now come sit on my lap.
Voight, his best role, Anaconda.
Well,
remember Anaconda, the movie with Ice Cube and Jennifer Lopez?
We talked about that.
Yeah.
Well, his daughter's probably, in
that's
a little
it,
bit of pain.
Huh? It's all over. And the Bears, huh? So the brand.
I don't know what's a more painful story.
Is it Brangelina or Bradgelina?
It's Bradgelina.
What did they call it?
Bran.
Brangelina, I think it was. So Brangelina's done, and so are the Bears, it looks like. I mean, it's week 2.
Wow.
Adios, boys.
Wow.
I don't think they'll win a game.
I don't know.
No, come on.
They might. They might not. They might not win a game. They look that bad.
0-16. What if they go 0-16? What do? You fire everybody.
Yeah.
You root for the Packers.
No, come on.
What, has it ever happened in Bear history? I don't know. I
wouldn't ever root. I'd root for like the Lions or something. I wouldn't root for the Packers.
Yeah. Wow. It's going to be a rough year for us Bear fans, it looks like.
Yeah, Bears fans, Sox fans, Bulls fans. Give me a break.
Yeah. Hawks. We got the Hawks. Cubs. Well,
I'll never transition into a Cubs fan. No matter.
Speaking of the Cubs, I don't know if you noticed, Bill Murray just came out with like a golf line apparel. That's all, it's like his tribute to the Cubs. So it's a golf shirt that looks kind of like a Cubs jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was trending today all over social media.
William Murray Golf. Yeah, it is a golf line. It's been out for a little while. I think the Chive, that website, was the one that first released it. I've seen his brother Joel Murray is a Facebook friend. Not a personal friend. A Facebook friend.
That's not him. That's a Russian hacker disguised as Joel Murray.
Dmitry Murray.
Well, I hope Dimitri
Murray Doyle.
Dimitri Murray Doyle. Dimitri Doyle Murray.
Hey, what's happening, Pat? Did like Caddyshack?
Was that Yakov Smirnoff?
Give me your credit card number anyway.
Like anyway?
Cool. Talk later.
K-E-W-L. Cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm about to release to WikiLeaks?
Yeah.
I'm going to release Bill Murray's phone number.
Your PIN number.
Yeah.
Your gas station card.
Oh, boy.
I wish him the best with the shirts
with
and stuff.
With the Cubs golf apparel.
He needs more
on.
Money, so.
Yeah, right. It is a good marketing play. A lot of people will go out and buy that. Hey, our friend Matt Martin. Remember from Matt Martin?
I love Matt Martin.
Yeah. Second City guy. Speaking of Bill Murray, one of our stage comrades from Second City. Yeah, he was great. He said on my Facebook wall, I said, try saying, in a Chicago accent right here, he goes, I got a real bad back after I dropped my Samsung Galaxy, then picked up my Mac iPad. If you can say that without an accent, you're not from Chicago.
Got a point.
I like that.
I can't.
Thanks, Matt.
Shout out to
I would like to have Matt on the show, possibly.
We could have.
Also known as Zydowski.
Zydowski. He's really into the underground music, poetry, and art scene in Chicago, and he's really involved, so he would be a good guest.
Yes, he would. You got to get in touch with him, Pat.
We will indeed.
Yeah. Clay, what's on the agenda this weekend for you?
So, I have the kids all weekend because my wife is going to a wedding in Buffalo, New York. So I'm Mr. Mom. It's already kind of begun because my nanny, who's my mother-in-law, is in Italy for 2 weeks. So it's really double down time for me.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. So
do it the old school way. Just get some pizzas.
Yeah. Just put headphones on. I blast Metallica. I don't really pay attention to what's going on.
Uh-huh.
You're listening to Master of Puppets while your kids are just running around.
Have you introduced Brendan to, is he a video game guy yet or no?
No. He's an outdoors guy.
Okay. Yeah. Smart move.
Yeah, he's not into that stuff.
Have you bought him a gun yet?
Got him a shotgun for Christmas last year on his first Christmas.
Yeah. Is it a Russian gun?
It is. It was made in Kiev. Yeah. So that, and I'm taking him out to the country on Saturday. We're going to a birthday party up there, so it'll be a good time. Horseback riding, et cetera, et cetera.
I'll be slinging drinks, as always.
God bless.
All weekend.
Pat?
Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be staying in downtown L.A., right? And you know where L.A. Live is, Clay?
Yeah, it's kind of dead down there.
Staples Center. Is it dead?
No one. Yeah,
I've heard it's insanity.
Go to Hollywood. Go to West Hollywood. Go to Santa Monica. Kick your feet up on the sand.
Yeah, for
punch a homeless guy
for an $80 Uber ride, probably.
Oh yeah.
Well, Bill, where are you slaying? You're going to be at the Carlton Hotel.
Absolutely. Yeah, we did a big Irish wedding last week. I haven't been worked that bad in a while.
That was a good
nice
one.
Nice money?
We made great money. God bless them.
Any brawls?
None. No brawls.
No headbutting?
No headbutting.
Oh, man.
But
must
great
have not
tippers.
Been from Donegal.
They drank like.
No,
I mean,
they were from Joliet.
Oh.
It finally reminded me, though, that I'm getting a little old. I mean, my back, I turned to Pat and go, my back's killing me. He goes, so is mine.
You gotta wear a weight belt.
No. I wear a, like wear a back brace while
no,
I'm tending
bar.
No,
wear a weight belt like you're doing power lifts in the gym.
While you're tending bar?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Guys,
and,
do that.
Or maybe I should wear like a, like, get like a WWF like
onesie.
Belt. No, like a belt that looks like that. Onesie.
It's wrestling singlet.
Get a championship belt.
Get a championship belt that says world's greatest bartender on it.
World's worst back.
Yeah. Well, that might be kind of, that might be a few laughs. A little talking piece to go at the wedding. I don't know if it would go good during the first cocktail hour, but as the night progressed, that people might find it entertaining.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What else is going on, Pat?
That's it. That's the end of the show. We're winding down here.
Let me dedicate a song.
Well, we will. If you're listening to the Hooli's Hooli, this has been an episode, obviously, if you've hung around this long. Do want to thank again William Hogan Jr.
The king.
Yep. The former president of Local 714 Teamsters. He was here to tell his story. Quite an interesting one. And he's going to have a fundraiser for his movie, right?
Clay? We'll keep updating the movie, when it's coming out, that sort of thing. So everyone.
Yeah, when's that fundraiser again?
It's October 5th. It's a Wednesday night. It's from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at Harry Carey's. It's called A Battle for Free Speech. Chicago Bear Richard Dent will be there amongst many celebrities, I'm sure.
As will I.
Drinks and refreshments. Go say hi to Bill Hogan Jr. Support him. We do. Thanks again, Bill. Bill, anything more?
No. Hey,
Coach?
Make sure to
Coach?
Tune.
Coach, practice over or what?
Practice is getting close to an end here. Make sure to tune into The Crack with Gene Cooney and Mike Houlihan after this show that they always do at the Irish American Heritage Center at 7 o'clock on Thursday nights.
That's right.
They followed session following right after that.
I think
Gene Cooney was away. I think he was in Germany. So I think that you get one whole hour of Mike Houlihan right after this show. I don't know if it's just him. I don't know who's going to be co-hosting. So please tune into that after this program.
Hooli Overload. If you Hooli like Overload. This episode and you would like to listen to past episodes of this program, you can find them at www.freecraic.com.
That's right.
This show is sponsored by Hibernian Transmedia.
Don't forget about the movie Hooli next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Gene Siskel Film Center.
That's right. The Irish American Movie Hooli. Get your butt over there Friday night. Beneath Disheveled Stars will be the feature. Sponsored by Two Gingers Irish Whiskey,
McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Old Loop, the Hilton.
It's going to be a great time. Until next week, Clay, you had a dedication of a song to the Brangelina breakup, right?
To the Pitt and Jolie families.
And the Bears.
This is Love Hurts by Nazareth. Good night.